Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
You see, all I want to do is hear Susie sing it. Come on now.
And they can walk on by, my friend.
Well, right now it is 7:10 here at WCCO. Welcome. You are listening to Steel Talking, and I'm your host, Geraldine Steele. Let me tell you something. This music makes me want to fly, honey. I'm totally uplifted. I have a smile on my face. How about you? My girlfriends are in studio. Shaletta Brundage is driving this ship tonight. And also Susie Jones from our newsroom. I can't wait. You ready? Here we go, y'all. Turn it up, darling. Mama told me not to waste my life. She said, spread your wings. I can't hear you, Susie. Come on now. Don't let what they say
keep you up at night.
I don't know what they say.
I didn't know you put it on.
Wings are made to fly.
I'm not going to get this because Geraldine's got a pretty voice. She gets all that
going. I turned her microphone on. She didn't know it was on.
I didn't know. She didn't know it was on.
She was just singing.
I'm like, my sisters left me at the altar. No. What happened?
You can sing and we can't.
Oh, Shaletta, come on.
Come on now.
Nothing has ever stopped you before.
That will.
Susie, you know you and I. Come on.
Yeah. We're not playing with
karaoke. What did we do?
We jammed.
Didn't we jam?
Yeah, we did. Geraldine jammed. Shaletta, she knocked him over.
I know she did.
I did not.
That's what she does for a living. No, that's her occupation. When she fills out her taxes and they say profession, knock them over.
No. Yeah. And people are looking. No. And I said, she's for real.
No.
That lady up there, she's for real. We're just messing around.
Mm-mm. There were some good singers there that night. What I love is that people just let it go, because we need to let it go these days, don't we?
Wherever we can.
Oh, my God.
I went and saw a movie last night. I want to see something that was just like nothing. I went by myself.
Yeah.
I saw Ocean's 8.
I'm going this week.
The ladies.
And the first question I asked my sister and her wife, I said, okay, so was Catherine Zeta-Jones in the movie?
No.
No.
What?
No.
She was in the...
It's what's her name that's the star?
Sandra Bullock.
Sandra Bullock
is
the star.
Well, big, Anne Hathaway, Kate Blanchett, Mindy.
Mindy's World or something.
Yeah.
Now, Rihanna was in it? Was Rihanna so good?
Rihanna was really fun.
You know, she was pretty good in Pacific. What was the name of that movie?
Pirates of the Caribbean.
No, Battleship. No.
What else was she in? She's been in a few, but the first time she hit the screen,
she did a nice job. Mm-hmm. She has the prettiest eyes
in
the world.
She is. They're so pretty. But anyway, I wanted something to just take me away. I wanted my popcorn, my milk duds, my Diet Coke. Just let me slip away for a couple
exactly.
hours.
And how did you do?
I did fine. I laughed. It was funny.
I heard the prison scene was a trip. Just want to let you know.
Okay, it was a trip. Now, you and I both love Bridesmaids. Was it as funny as Bridesmaids?
No.
Okay.
It wasn't
a comedy, right?
Well, it was, a little quirky, because they had to figure out how to steal a $16 million diamond necklace.
Right.
But Bridesmaids had so many funny scenes in it. The dress scene of Maya Rudolph taking a dump in the middle of the street.
I know that doesn't sound funny. Wow. Hold on a minute. I need to pick my whole soul up. My soul just jumped out of my skin and said, what?
Am I right? That's what happened.
Did she really?
Yeah. Didn't you see Bridesmaids?
You haven't seen Bridesmaids?
I saw, yes, I did.
Yeah.
But I don't remember it being in the middle of the street.
In the wedding dress.
She couldn't hold it.
I had a chance to work with her.
You did?
Yeah, she was in the movie, A Prairie Home Companion. With Meryl Streep and Lily Tomlin.
Oh, how fun.
And Kevin.
Who was in it?
What's his name? How can I forget that? Tommy Lee Jones.
That was a
Woody Harrelson.
Yeah. Did you enjoy that?
Oh my God. Oh, it was just, it was a family. We were all a family. It was really, but Maya was great. So she was the one that did the.
And who's her mom? Tell me who her mom is.
Come on now, girl.
No, I'll know it if you just say the first letter of the first name.
Okay. I want to sing it for you.
Sing it.
Okay. How does it start, Shaletta?
Loving you.
Yeah. Loving you.
Minnie Riperton. Is it cause you're beautiful?
Do-do-do-do-do. I love the way you did that.
That's how I get the high voice.
Wait a minute. Did you hear Shaletta? She said, do, do, do.
Shaletta wants to sing.
I love it.
No, she does.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay.
Shaletta's got things to say about that cave rescue. She's so mad at that coach. She could just about put her right over her.
Yeah. I'm happy that the boys, four boys are out. Yep, they're working on getting the other boys out. The
I thought they were going to have another two out today, and it didn't happen.
They said it's going to take 3 to 4 days to rescue everybody if they can.
Right.
If they can.
If they can.
Well, wait a minute. Wait, because Elon Musk has created this kitty-sized submarine. And they're literally making more of them to go in and get every one of them.
They got to hurry because it's raining.
I know it's raining. Not only is it raining, I mean, the children breathing has caused some problems, and now the air is becoming very
toxic. It's monsoon season over
I know.
Can you imagine? I'm not going to say it.
But I'm really hopeful with Elon Musk and his invention.
And, you know, what Susie and I were talking about earlier is where was the adult to say no? I'm the chaperone. I'm in charge. You can't go in this cave. Because, of course, the kids ask, can we go play in the cave? And they've got this 25-year-old chaperone. Mm-hmm. And he goes and they all go off into this cave. Not just in there, but way deep, far back in there. And then
mile
they get trapped.
Mile and a half.
Yes. They're a mile and a half in. And I'm like, where is the
adult? He's not a professional in this. He's not trained to take people into a cave.
No, he is a 25-year-old coach.
Teacher. Oh, he's a coach of the soccer team.
That's and right. I'm like, you know, if that was my baby, I'd be swimming in that and I would wring his neck. I have trusted you with my son and you have let me down, and not only let me down, but put his life on the line. And then he had the audacity to write an apology letter and send it out with one of the divers to the parents.
Okay, first of all, Shaletta, I can see you. I can see you standing at the cave. Standing at the place where they come up. And as soon as her baby comes up, she goes, baby, I love you. Stand behind me.
Please.
Hold on a minute, because we got things to do.
Please. I got a
earrings
down.
Start coming off.
Oh, my God.
She take her fake nails off.
Right.
It's like I'm ready to box now.
I'm ready to fight. Okay. You have put my child's life and all these children's lives on the line.
And a diver already died.
A diver died.
That broke my heart.
And he's a pro. Yeah, so how do they go get the kids out?
They're going to get the children out.
I know.
They are going to get the... I have so much faith that they're going to get the children out. They have to get these children out. It's not their fault. I'm praying that they get the children out.
All right.
This is no joke.
Can somebody send me to Thailand to meet up with the coach? I just want to talk to him. I don't really want to.
See, you got an irreverent spanking for the man already.
Yeah, we're going to put you on a plane.
I smell trouble. Wait a minute. Thailand won't even allow her to get off the plane.
Right.
Oh, no. Like, that one don't get off.
No.
All right, Susie, you know I adore you, honey.
I do too. You. We did miss you while you were visiting your family, but I hope everybody's good out there.
I missed you too. My daughter has her dissertation. Turned in.
I was going to say, come on, give us an update. Give us
an
update.
It is turned in. And it took a lot. And it was all because they moved it up a whole month.
Jeez.
And she was still working on her job. And there was just no way she was going to get
it done. So you stepped up.
What a great mama.
Yeah,
what a great mama.
Well, but you know what? It's not even about being a great mother. When your children are going through these difficult times, it's all hands on deck.
It is indeed.
I'm telling you. I mean, I called mama. I called my sister. I called everybody and said, look, she needs help. I need to go. And I was nervous. But let me tell you, WCCO Radio and Intercom came to the rescue and said, absolutely, Gerilyn, we'll find you a studio. And I was stunned at that.
Yeah.
And I'm really, really, really grateful for the team, Lou and Ben and Kyle on the intercom side.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, Lindsay and Shannon and,
Andy.
Thank you. I keep wanting to call him Adam, but Andy, and for all that really helped. And Joe and
right?
Shaletta having to learn and Jonathan Lowe coming in to help out with Shaletta.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just so grateful for everyone that made that happen.
Well,
and we had some difficult times.
I know. I was here for a few of them.
Yeah.
We can't hear you, Gerilyn. We can't.
Nobody can,
you hear,
can
us?
Hear me. Oh, my gosh. But I'm really grateful, and feel so blessed to have that opportunity.
Well, we're happy to have you back.
I'm back.
All right. I'll go back to work.
Okay. You're listening to Steele Talk, and I'm your host, Gerilyn Steele. We'll be back in just a moment. It is now 7:21 here at WCCO. Welcome back. You are listening to Steele Talking, and I'm your host, Gerilyn Steele. It is what I love to do, is sit here and gab with you, and we have a lot to talk about tonight. Did you hear about the 250-pound black bear that was
that was became a safety threat over by Fletcher's around in Wayzata. I mean, seriously, this is a big deal, you guys. Let me read a little bit of the story. It says a 250-pound black bear that was deemed a safety threat was shot and killed yesterday as it wandered toward a heavily populated recreation area near Lake Minnetonka. Officials say tranquilizers were not available to stop the bear, which was shot near Lord Fletcher's off of Old Lake Lodge in Spring Park. The DNR says that there are nearly 15,000 bears living in the wild in Minnesota. Well, to join me to talk about this really popular story and a very sad ending is Jill Takarvik. And, of course, she took a picture of the black bear that you saw on WCCO Radio's website and so many other newspapers. Jill, welcome to WCCO Radio. How are you?
Hi. Thank you, Carolyn.
Hey, now, have you been getting calls from so many media people?
I have. It's been a little crazy.
I know, but this is really important. First of all, when it ends in the death of the bear, Minnesotans get pretty upset about this. And I think throughout the nation. How did you feel when you saw the bear?
Well, first of all, I was shocked. I was absolutely shocked. We were just, you know, driving home from running errands and saw police cars with their flashing lights, looked over, saw the bear. I actually threw the phone to my daughter and said, take a picture, take a picture. So I'll have to give that photo credit to my daughter.
Great job,
daughter.
Snapped
the picture. Yeah. I grew up in northern Minnesota, so I've seen bears in the wild before, but my gosh, in such a populated area, I've never seen a bear that close to such a, you know, densely populated area. We were very, very surprised.
Yeah, were you surprised and were you concerned immediately? Did you know that this was going to be a problem?
You know what? I knew it was going to be a problem for the bear because I just knew it wasn't going to be a good day for the bear because in him being in that area, the police were already on the scene. I knew it wasn't going to be a good day for him. I had hoped that there would be, you know, some sort of transport somewhere else. I've since learned that that's rarely successful to relocate the bears. We were pretty sad in our family because we are big animal lovers. And it was a sad story to hear that the bear had to be shot. I certainly didn't want, you know, humans to be harmed.
Right.
So let me just say that. I definitely didn't want it to end with a scary story about humans being injured, but sad to hear about the bear.
Yeah, 250 pounds is nothing to play with. And a lot of people don't know what to do.
I don't think it was 250 pounds.
Really?
I Googled what a 250-pound bear looks like when I heard the weight. And I feel like it was a lot smaller than that personally, but, you know, I didn't weigh the bear, so.
Right. Okay, so when you saw it, did you guys pull over and just watch what was occurring with the police sirens and seeing the bear? Did you pull over and wait to see what would happen?
Well, we were naturally stopped at a stop sign, and then, we had to stop, too, because of the emergency vehicles, the police cars that were kind of, you know, trying to block traffic. And when he crossed the road, there was a natural pause, and then we made our way home. We did not, thank goodness, stick around for all the chaos that ensued afterwards. I'm glad that we were far from the scene at that point.
And how old is your daughter?
She's 11.
Yeah, you would not want her to see that scene, that's for
no,
sure. So that
no.
was very smart of you. It really is quite remarkable that she got that great picture, because at least we got a chance to see this beautiful beast. I mean, I shouldn't call it a beast, because it really was beautiful in some way. And you know that this was just a bear wandering, trying to find food. I have friends that live in that area, and I asked them, I said, hey, did you guys hear about the story? They said, yeah, we heard the story, and it's so sad. None of us wanted that outcome, but we understand it. So just make sure you keep your camera handy, Jill, at all times, because I have a feeling you might capture something good again.
Absolutely. I'm just going to keep throwing it to the kids.
Thank you so much for taking the time to join us tonight. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Take care of you.
Yep. Good night.
Good night. That is Jill Takarvik, and she's the one that took that picture of that beautiful bear. I thought it was a beautiful picture of the bear. So clear. We could really see it. And to know that bear is now deceased, dead, had been shot because, you know, it was in a very heavily populated area. If you've been to Fletcher's, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Fletcher's is right on the water. There are a lot of people who performing outdoors. People, their deck outside, their patio outside is usually packed on the weekends. There are people playing tennis. There are people all over golfing. I mean, seriously, you just, well, I shouldn't say golfing, but playing and having a ball. So you just know that that's not the area you would want a black bear to wander into. So although the beautiful bear had to be shot, I'm sad about that. I really am sad about that. But maybe we should start really looking at, you know, public places like that in wooded areas, making sure that there are tranquil guns to be shot so that we don't have to put down the bear or put down the animal. Maybe that's what we should do. And if you'd like to join us in a conversation about this in the next half hour as well, you're welcome to do so at 651-989-9226 or 1-866-989-9226. What would you have done if you had seen the bear going across the street? Even if you didn't take the picture, would you have followed things to try to see where were the police going? Were they chasing this bear? Because I am amazed at how many people run to a disaster or run to a terrible accident or run to seeing you see a bear and go, oh, let's follow the bear. You know, they get closer than they should. I'm not one of those people. I am not one of those people. I don't run to see chaos or to see a murder or to see a dead body. I'm not that girl. So I know exactly what I would not have done. I would not have followed suit. I would not have even pulled over to take a picture of the bear. But I would have called somebody and said, guess what I just saw? So there you go. I'm that person. 651-989-9226 or 1-866-989-9226. Looking forward to speaking with you. We've got some time in the next half hour. The phone lines will be open for you, and there are lots of things to talk about, and we want to make sure that you get a chance to participate in that. Shaletta, do we have a caller right now?
Yes, Mark and Blaine is on the line right now.
Hey, Mark and Blaine, welcome to CCO.
Hey, yeah, I just wanted to say that I think that's a great solution, having the tranquilizers handy. I think it's a shame that those weren't available at the time, you know.
Yeah.
I am a bear hunter, and I participate ethically in hunting, and I think it's a shame what happened. And bears are nothing to be they're not friendly, you know. They're not your friends. So you said that they aren't a beast, but I'd argue that they are, and that's the reason that it was unfortunately taken. But I'm just happy nobody got hurt, and unfortunately the bear was killed. So,
wow. You know, and when you say ethically, you participate in ethical killing, what does that mean?
You know, it's there is a limited amount of bears that are allowed in the state of Minnesota. I purchased a tag so that I'm allowed to take one. I prefer archery over rifle hunting just because it's more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
We do beta pins because it's allowed. And, you know, I just take advantage of what the state allows me to. It's something that our family's been a part of for generations. So I'm proud of it, and I am open to arguments about it, you know.
All right. I'm losing your signal. So thank you so much for calling in, Mark. I really appreciate it. All right. It is now 7:30. We're going to do a little bit of weather, and then we're going to come back with your calls. We got a lot to talk about. There's a whole lot going on. And if you want to bring up a subject that I can talk about, you are welcome to do so at 651-989-9226 or 1-866-989-9226. And, of course, this particular subject will be at the top of that list. We'll be back in just a moment. It is now 7:36 here at WCCO. Welcome back. You are listening to Steele Talk, and I'm your host, Geraldine Steele. In studio with me is our in-studio producer, Shaletta Brundage, and that is the voice you hear from time to time, as well as Susie Jones from our newsroom. But she'll be done pretty soon, but it's always a pleasure to be back with these ladies. We want to let you know that we do have a guest for 7:35, and I do apologize. I had opened up the phone lines. Unfortunately, we do. I will have to pull back on that, but I'm excited to bring this particular guest to you, because it's all about, so what do you do? And as you hear sometimes on this show, that music that you just heard is when we find something or someone that's parked, a bus that's parked somewhere, or a van or a car that passes with a logo and I don't know what it is. I just found one recently. In fact, just Friday night when I was in Uptown, and I cannot wait to find out what they do. I didn't look into it. I'm just handing it to my producer so I will be able to find out what that is. So we'll have that for next week. But this So What Do You Do is quite interesting. I don't know if you know about this, but for some students, school lunch is the only consistent, healthy meal that they can look forward to during the day. And though school is out, and I know a lot of students are excited about that, it doesn't mean that those youth have to go hungry or ditch their healthy eating habits, because, you know, a lot of the Minneapolis schools have been trying to present more healthy eating habits, you know, more healthy foods presented for lunch. Well, this summer, Minneapolis Public Schools Culinary and Wellness Services has launched something called Street Eats, a new food truck service to give children and teens 18 and younger greater access to a free nutritious meal. Now, the food trucks and a food bus, in fact, are stationed at approximately 10 school sites. I was very excited when I finally learned this. And these 10 school sites are throughout the city, and they do this each week. The food trucks offer a rotating menu of fresh cooked lunch options, including Philly cheese steaks, which, by the way, does not sound like it's healthy. Can I just say? And but they have Korean rice bowls and Angus burgers, and the bus, which has actually been around for 5 years, serves cold picnic style meals. So joining us to talk about this is the man behind the plan. Oh, we don't have him yet?
No, he got a little confused on the time. And so he said that he would be ready in a little bit, so we have to call him back.
I'm sorry to hear that.
I'm sorry.
The perils of live radio.
Live radio.
All right, then we're going to open up the phone lines. We are opening up the phone lines to you, and I'm excited to do that because I really want to hear what you think about all that is going on in our nation. There's so much, not just politically, there's so much going on when it comes to our children, with universities, with religion. There's just so much going on. So what is weighing heavy on your mind? Or what is it that you have a question about or something you want to just talk about? Just get your, you know, stand on your soapbox for, you know, a minute and just tell me what it is that you're concerned about. Because I don't know about you. I have to talk to people. I had the great fortune of being with my girlfriend, Shelley, for her birthday this weekend. And, you know, even though it was, it wasn't long enough, you know, I wish we had a lot of time. I have to tell you, it was just great to just talk through what I'm feeling and how things make me feel. If you want to join us to talk about that, you are welcome to do so. 651-989-9226 or 1-866-989-9226. Forgive my confusion tonight. We did have a guest that was booked, and I just did not realize that. But now our guest is not ready, so you are welcome to call in. If you want to talk about the Black Bear and what you think about us not having a tranquilizer gun available for public, you know, places where a lot of the and it's a wooded area where the public is, then you can also voice your opinion on that as well. 651-989-9226 or 1-866-989-9226. Okay. Want to let you know some of the other things that we are doing tonight while we have these phone lines open, and I would love to hear from you. At 8 o'clock, we're going to talk to Cam Gordon, council member of Ward 2. And we're going to talk about an article that I came across from the Minnesota Daily at the University of Minnesota, which explains their research that is being done on adult entertainment places like strip clubs and how they are working. These women are working in really bad conditions. And the University of Minnesota has done this research. And so now the council board has been interviewing women. They've been going over to them and talking. So you don't want to miss that conversation about what's happening in the second ward. And we'll talk about a few other things in the second ward as well. And then at 8:30, Robert Kuderli is going to join us. He's a professor. And we're going to talk about international trade and investment policy. He's from the University of Minnesota's Humphrey School, and also an adjunct professor there. And we're going to talk about the whole trade mess with China. This whole tit for tat. I don't know about you, Shaletta, but all of a sudden they go, okay, you know, I'm going to hit you with this tariff and $34 billion. Then they hit back and go, okay, then we're going to hit you with $34 billion. It's like these children are playing games. I just don't get it. And we are playing with people's jobs, people's homes, people's livelihood, you know, how their children will eat. Also, if you'd like to comment on the teacher who went down into this cave with those children.
Coach. Yeah, yeah, the 25-year-old coach.
Yeah, I keep saying he's a teacher. He did not teach.
No,
he was
he's
a coach
not a teacher.
Only.
He's a soccer coach.
He's a coach only, 25 years old.
It just bothers me to no end, especially when as a parent, you know, kids go on field trips, they go, you know, to camp, they go away with church groups, and you're leaving them with these adults that you think have training and are capable and will make sound judgment decisions and will keep your kids safe. And then no parent wants to get a call, my kids are trapped.
Right.
Your kid, we can't reach them. We can't find them. You know, something's happened. They're safe, but we can't get, you know, you just don't want to get that call. And the first thing you say was, where were the grown-ups?
Right.
Where were the adults?
And so what do you think the parents, what is the right of the parent now? How far do you think they can go with this? Do you think they can sue him for this once their children are home safe?
You know, this is a 25-year-old kid. I doubt if he has enough money to pay legal fees. Mm-hmm. You know, most of the coaches who, you know, coach little league teams are volunteers. You know, so he's probably doing it because he loves coaching.
So it's not a school.
It's not a school.
Team.
Right. It's like a little, you know, your little rec league, your little neighborhood, you know, organization.
And most of the boys are what age? They look to be about
like
12, 13
years old. Yeah. And, you know, so these people do it for the love of the game and they want to help kids. And I'm sure he had the best intentions, but just to, you know, go with these kids in this cave and get off the beaten path and want to explore, you know, someplace they'd never been. You know, it's just, you know, as a parent, it's just frightening. And I've got a, you know, 5-year-old. He's going to his first camp. Mm-hmm. He has autism.
Oh, he is.
Yes, he has autism. So he has, you know, some language developments that we're working on. And this has made me rethink sending him to camp.
Really?
I called the camp director and I said, listen, he has several therapists that he works with on a daily basis who know him well. Mm-hmm. Can they come to camp with him? Otherwise, honestly, after seeing this in the cave and with these boys, I don't think that I want my baby to go. And I'm sorry, I'm living in fear. Call me the crazy mama. But if this camp decides that they don't want my son's therapist to go with him and shadow him the whole time he's there, mm-hmm. I'm not going to let him go.
Okay, so this was a soccer camp?
This was my son's camp.
No, I'm talking about these boys.
No, these boys were in a tournament. He's a coach.
Right. Exactly. He's a coach. So this wasn't a camp, right?
No, it's not a camp, but it's still adults in charge of your children when you're not around.
Yeah, but this happens all the time. You know, Rohan Preston would call in all the time and talk about his daughter's soccer team and how well they did and how they win these things. And, you know, a lot of times you'll see a lot of these teams go out to eat afterwards, right?
Right.
And so the restaurants are full of the teams and they're all excited because they won and that sort of thing because they get a treat. And you don't think about what could go wrong. But remember the story of the St. Paul, I believe it was, school that went on a camping or a trip where they were just going to look at the rocks.
Mm-hmm.
It was a park. Anyone remember this one? Please give me a call and tell me and remind me what school it was. And because there was a child, I believe, that died, that fell and tripped and the rocks fell, and I think it was after a storm or something.
Right.
So if anyone remembers that story and can correct me on that, please give me a call at 651-989-9226 because I can't remember exactly what school it was, but they had to like close that area because these rocks were falling.
Were falling.
Yeah. And of course the teacher didn't know. They went out for a friendly walk and
see, everybody doesn't take care of their kids the way you take care of yours. And when you drop your kids off or you leave your kids with somebody, they may not be as watchful as you are with your children.
But don't you have to get permission for your child to be able to go on a walk anywhere?
Well, this is the thing. Like, for instance, if they go on a camp and they say that they're going to go on a walk, that's one thing. But to leave the path and go into a cave is another. You know what I mean?
But we don't know if that happened.
We don't know if he left it.
We don't even know
how
this all came. Who would take the children into a cave
a
and not talk to the parents
coach,
and get permission to do so?
I don't believe he said, I'm going to take your kids in a cave and we'll be right back.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know. I'm not quite sure how it happened. I'd love more information on this. And, of course, this is another country. So they don't operate like we do. We don't operate like they do. So who knows what the rules are there? But this has got to be a real challenge. This has to be something that we're looking at nationally because it could happen here, right? We have caves. We have caves in Minnesota, you know, that could really put children in danger. So I can't even imagine someone that's not trained to do that and just go in without permission. I just can't imagine that.
I can. I really can. We got John on the line. John has some information for you, Geraldine.
Hey, John, what do you have? John, are you there?
The part that you're asking about was Lilydale Park in Mendota, and they had a rock slide.
Rock slide.
The school group that went there, and there was a rock slide, and kid got killed.
So it was not St. Paul?
Lilydale, kind of right on the edge of St. Paul, but I think it's Mendota.
Okay, and do you remember...
It's on the river.
And it wasn't like a school outing. I think they were just taking a walk or something, right?
No, it was a school outing.
Okay. What year was that?
Well, I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember either. Thank you so much. Thanks, John, for calling in. Thank you. I appreciate it. That was really hard to read. I mean, when I read that story, it kind of, you know, I think every mother and father were touched by that story because it's just really sad. Ended in tragedy. But boy, I don't know. We keep saying that it can never happen to us, but anything can happen.
Mm-hmm.
Anything can happen. Also, if we are going to entrust our children with other people, whether it's a daycare center for the summer, there are so many camps. There's the Y. You know, you got so many options, which is a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
You got church camps where people just send their children off with, you know, chaperones that may not be trained in certain things. I remember my children went to a camp and I arrived there a couple days early to kind of check it out.
Right.
And there was a black bear eating out of the trash can.
Oh, no.
No,
stop.
Seriously.
Are
there
you
was
for
a
real?
Black bear, but it wasn't some big, it was like a baby. A baby that
was growing into somewhere around.
Exactly. And we were told that, look, okay, so there's a black black bear at the trash can. Do not disturb it. Do not go outside. We all stayed in the same area.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we were told, we were warned, and there were people who were trained to recognize this in that camp as well, you know?
Yeah. Everybody, you know, just they are not as cautious and careful, especially, you know, Steve Thompson was here earlier doing his show, and he was talking about it. At 25, you think you're invincible.
Exactly.
At 45, when you're taking care of somebody else's kids, you are very cautious. My husband coached Cottage Grove Wolfpack basketball kids my son's age. You know, it was a bonding time for him and my 11-year-old son. And we had a game truck party at the end. You know, you're talking about the parties and stuff.
Out,
And this game truck came, and there was a guy on the truck who was an attendant.
Mm-hmm.
And all the kids ran on the truck to play all these video games. And so my husband was standing outside with me. And I said, well, what are you doing out here with me? You need to be on the truck watching those children because we don't know this man.
Right.
And these parents have entrusted us to take care of their children. So we don't ever need to take two eyes off of any of these children.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I'm sure the man, you know, at first it's like, I'm sure the man's fine. I mean, they trust him around kids. I was like, they can trust him all they want to. But we have to watch out for these people's children. They drop their children off in our care, and we have to take extra special care of them.
I'm going to tell you what changed for me was the ice cream truck.
What do you mean ice cream?
When my children were between the ages of 9 and 13, you know, the ice cream truck would always come around the neighborhood in Como Park, and you hear that music.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I heard that music the other day. It was so sad. I mean, it sounded like it was winding down, like it was about to die.
Oh, it's not as happy
like
as it
the truck was
today.
About to, it's, you know, what happened to ding, 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 ding. This was like ding, 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 ding. It was awful, right? But I had a hard time sending my children to the ice cream truck. You remember how the children would hear the ice cream truck and they'd
run
up to
running.
It. You know, the parents would go get something, baby. And you go run to it. Not anymore. We never knew who was driving the truck.
Mm-hmm.
We just trusted the ice cream. We trusted the person. But with everything that's going on in our world today, I started rethinking that. That was, you know, decades ago. And I had to rethink either he went, their father went with them to the truck, or I went with them to the truck, or nobody went to the truck.
And you got to be fast to catch the truck. Which one of y'all were the fastest, you or your husband?
Fast? Girl, this thing was crawling. And ding, 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 and just crawling, child, just begging the children, come out and just get some ice cream.
See, now the music is slow and the truck is fast.
The truck girl.
You got to catch them.
You really do.
You
and
really
they
do.
Turn the corner so fast as if to say, this neighborhood is not going to give up one child. And you right. You right. And why do they come around like 3 o'clock during the weekday?
Yes, they do. They
do
really
that.
Do. Yeah. Talk to them. Talk to them.
You know, you don't need to come around in the summertime till it's like 6:30.
Right. After we've had dinner.
We've had our, you know, ribs and peas. Okay. Now we might get an ice cream popsicle or something like that. That's when you need to come around. But I don't know. For some reason, I just didn't trust it anymore. So I stopped it completely. Mm-hmm. All right. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment. It is now 7:54 here at WCCO. We did not reach out and get our guest. They were trying to prepare to come on, but we weren't able to do that. So I am so sorry that we have had two big faults tonight. We invited you to call, and then we changed it, and then we invited you again. And our guest is not there. How about that? Currently, it's 83 degrees and fair outside. However, as of 7:22, a tornado warning is in effect for Otterdale County until 8 p.m. The residents are advised to seek shelter. This is not a joke. This is a severe, this is a tornado warning that is in effect for Otterdale County until 8 p.m. Please seek shelter now. Meanwhile, a flash flood warning is in effect for Lake and St. Louis counties until 11:15. So we'll try to keep you updated on that as well. I am frustrated with all that is going on in our world at one time. I don't remember a time in my life when we have crisis after crisis after crisis. I know the 60s were a difficult time. In fact, from 1954 until 1968, in fact, through 1969, very difficult years. I know the whole freedom age of the 70s and the wild children and the flower children and all of that. And then disco. Perfect lead-in for disco, that era. And so I know that we've had some challenges. I remember when AIDS first hit and how frightening it was in our nation and how we were all trying to work that out. People didn't want to shake people's hands that were infected if they suspected they were gay. They didn't want them to be near their children. And I remember Philadelphia, the movie came out, and how important that movie was with Tom Hanks in the lead role and Denzel Washington as the lawyer. I remember the 80s with Madonna wearing the bustiers and, being sacrilegious when it came to the Catholic Church, and how Cyndi Lauper was also another one who, railed against the Catholic Church. And we used to talk about that and wonder if this was the right way to send our children. And then the cartoons, Ren and Stimpy, and The Simpsons came along, and everything changed, right? And we're pretty good at adapting, aren't we? Yet, as we watch, we look back. Sometimes we have to look back in order to move forward. Sankofi. Looking back in order to move forward. And we have to move forward now. Now we are being hit with one scandal after another, one protest after another, one movement after another, one fight after another, one war after another, right? And now you talk to your friends, right? Like I do. And we say, look, let's just not talk about anything that's real in life right now. Let's just laugh. Can somebody make me laugh? Can somebody just make me laugh? Well, here's the thing. I'll tell you where I go and what I do to deal with it. Because I have to know what is in the news. I have to report on that. I have to talk about it. I have to stay in touch with it, right? I'm not trying to run from it, but I do need to take care of my soul in the process of it, right? My spirit. So Geraldine simply finds a way to relieve all of that stress. Maybe you find a guilty pleasure in chocolate. You know, maybe you pray. Maybe you meditate. And we've talked about doing meditation before right here on WCCO. But for me, it's always family. It's always family. When the Steels get together and we rehearse, we talk afterwards. And it is lovely. I suggest that you find a place as well. And whatever that is, it's worth it. We'll be back in just a moment.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.